finally, a beer tasting podcast for the rest of us. It's the American Pale Males podcast with me, one of your hosts, Michael. And with me is my other host,
the rest of us. It's me, Jeremy. Michael, how have you been?
Been doing great. Jeremy, I have to ask, being open and honest, you know, we're recording a few in a row here.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But in real life, in real time, probably about a month ago when this comes out, the teaser for the new Star Wars movie dropped.
And there's this new dance called the Charleston that's taking the nation by storm.
Right. So obviously, this is olds. It's not news, it's olds by the time people hear this. But I thought of this and I wanted to pursue it anyway because I don't even know. Do you like Star Wars? Like, this is a topic we've never even talked about,
it's
I don't
true.
Think.
So at the risk of becoming one of those people, I very much watched the original trilogy several times when I was a kid, pretty much anyone of our age. The later ones, not so much. I think I've only watched or rewatched the OT trilogy a couple times since I got the DVDs. Girlfriend of the show had never seen them. And so before episode 7 came out, we went through and watched the original trilogy, or at least the first two and most of Jedi. Of Jedi. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But oddly enough, I have yet to see Rogue One, which is sitting in a Blu-ray case on top of my subwoofer in the living room.
I've not seen that yet either. So you do enjoy it, though.
I enjoy it. I'm not going to... I'm getting a little leery of this Marvel-esque, we're going to put at least one out every year. I don't know. I think it's going to dilute the brand a little bit. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that that's why I didn't watch Rogue One in theaters, just because A, I didn't want to deal with the crowds when the hype was huge. And then by the time that had died down, I just couldn't have been bothered. I was just like, maybe I'll... It's like, I don't know, man. Green Room is playing. Or I don't even know if those were out at the same time, but it's...
There's other options.
There's other options, and I don't get to the theater as much as I should, especially given that we have an excellent Bruin view here in town now. I don't know. I enjoyed Episode 7, but the South Park complaints were valid. They were valid. Let's not kid ourselves here. It was the greatest hits. It was a remix.
Yeah.
It was still enjoyable. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But it was a remix. Let's not kid ourselves.
So you're not building a widow's watch for episode 8?
Nah.
Well, with a lantern
now,
waiting for it.
I am supremely curious about this next one. Because Rian Johnson made it. I don't know if you know that name, but you should.
Is he a Marvel-type producer or something?
He is not, which is why I'm excited about it. He is...
Uh-huh.
He is... Let's see, what did he make? He was famous for Brick, starring a very young Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He also made Looper, which is probably his most famous film.
I found that film to be enjoyable.
It's a good movie. And he also made... There's a con man movie. The Brothers Bloom. It had Mark Ruffalo and... Someone, I didn't much care for that one, but Looper and Brick are phenomenal. Brick is essentially a Dashiell Hammett hard-boiled detective novel set in a high school.
So we could be seeing some fresh elements to this one.
I want something different. I really liked the new cast that they brought in. I'm glad that do I have to tread lightly here, Michael?
What about spoilers or something?
About episode 7, because that movie made more money than several nations' GDPs.
Yeah.
When Han Solo gets gutted, all right, it needed to happen, because Harrison Ford doesn't care
on multiple levels. Yeah.
It was just like you could see it coming a mile away because, like I said, it's a remix.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, all right, get all these. I remember. Get all that stuff out of the way.
Yes.
And
you've
got a very good cast of new people.
Yeah.
Daisy Ridley, is that her name?
Yes.
I don't remember the character's name, but I remember the actress's name. John Boyega, who plays Finn, he was awesome in that, and he's also in a fantastic John Carpenter-esque horror movie called Attack the Block some years ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing about
that. That was a good movie. And Oscar Isaac, he's my boy, man. He was in Inside Llewyn Davis. He was in Ex Machina. He's a fantastic actor and probably one of my favorites working today. So we've got the new people, and it's just like, all right, I see how they have to, like, oh, man, but Luke Skywalker, oh, yeah, die, man. But it was like, we all saw what happened last time they did that and didn't have the oh, I member parts in there. It didn't turn out so well.
Yeah.
But what about you? What do you think on the subject?
I'm probably in a similar boat to you. I don't go nuts over it. In fact, I did see Episode 7 in the theater, which, for me, is pretty remarkable considering how infrequent I go to theaters. But it's kind of nice to see it evolve. However, you know, I will probably pay attention to this next movie. However, the side movies and if the main series starts dwindling or falling short of expectations, I'm fine with abandoning the IP. And, oh, there's this cool TV. You know, there's a plethora of entertainment options.
Yeah.
Why am I...
They really have to put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, because there's Black Mirror. Cool.
To name one show.
to name one show. It's like, that one will wreck your head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we're in agreement here, Michael.
Yeah.
Just like, it's I enjoy it. I like it. I fear that nostalgia will get the better of us all.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Well... Yeah, I'm trying to transition over to beer breaks, and I don't have a good one.
Hey, Michael, did you see that new Star Wars movie where they have a where they talk about fancy ales on Coruscant? Oh, speaking of which, what's your beer break for the week? It's not that hard, Michael.
I had some blue milk.
Oh yeah,
that might be a good beer name, or maybe not. Okay, I will do my real beer break now, which was. Kind of apropos for the FDR we'll have later, I had a beer called Lombardi Golden Ale.
Like Vince Lombardi?
Yeah, I believe, yes.
You are in Wisconsin.
Yes, I am in Wisconsin. This is from Sand Creek Brewing Company, which is a little outfit in Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Now that's a name.
I know. I love that name for the town. I've only like zipped through the town, though, so I can't speak to that, but... this was a nice, solid brew. I could see, you know, they're probably trying to keep it in kind of mass appeal so it didn't have, like, any crazy flavors or anything, but it still had a lot of taste to it, nice and crisp, but, no, nothing that I'd become the town crier about or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I gave it a 3.5, a nice, solid quaff, and it'll be interesting to see how it compares to this one, which I think this one we're going to have today is going to be a little... more intensely flavored.
This one might have a little bit more hair on its chest.
Yeah. So how about you? What's your beer brag, Jeremy?
My beer brag came from the Iowa Chop House, as we established a couple episodes ago. I don't even remember. But you may remember, I don't know for sure, but did the show have Beatnik Sour on it at some point from Exile?
Don't believe so, no.
Have you had a Beatnik Sour?
I don't believe so, okay. No.
So, Exile has an ongoing series of Berliner Weiss sours.
Ooh.
Called Beatnik Sour. And then they have various fruit variations on it. There's a cherry one, which I believe was my favorite one. Let me find some links here to get some better ones. But the one I had at the Chop House was a recent release of Blood Orange Bohemian. And so it's basically, it's if you've had the Beatnik Sour, which you haven't, but you know, the royal you.
Yes, okay.
You, capital Y, have had Beatnik Sour. They have a series of ones. Blood Orange Bohemian is, you know, a standard Berliner Weiss with blood orange in it. It's like a deep red-ish orange. I mean, it's a blood orange. Their flavor text says, the lastest release in our ongoing sour series, the Bohemian Fruit Review, showcases the prodigal fruit of Sicily, blood oranges, intensely refreshing and loaded with blood orange flavor and aroma. Now, I take umbrage with that because it was not loaded with blood orange aroma. It did have a pretty solid amount of the taste to it, though, but not enough to overtake the Beatnik Sour itself. I gave it a 3.75 out of 5. It's refreshing. I remember this one being it had been a while since I had had a beatnik sour, let alone a fresh one. So I have a feeling that the freshness of this one, or the assumed freshness, made it way more sour than I was predicting.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, if you like sours, check out Exiles. They make some solid ones.
I do like Berliner Weisses. I think I've only had one or two of them. Very kind of crisp, bubbly, sour beers. So that's good.
I mean, if absolutely nothing else, they definitely have the sours down pat. There's a raspberry Bohemian. There's a blackberry.
Oh, man.
Interesting. Strawberries and peaches. Things of that nature.
We might have to partake sometime. Add that to the ever-growing list.
It just made the list.
Very good.
Indeed.
Beatnik makes me think of Ned Flanders' parents.
I had the same thought, too.
From The Simpsons, yes.
It's a real square cube, man. I don't even know if I'm getting the line right, but...
Yeah. So, Jeremy, again...
Stupid Beatniks.
Going back to the FDR beer, which we have not yet revealed.
We have not.
To tease it a little more, there is a picture of a dragon on there.
Man.
He's kind of... Or maybe it's a demon, but I think it's a dragon.
I think this is a demon, like a Baphomet-esque demon.
Oh, yeah. Well, that kind of ruins the segment, but we'll say it's a dragon.
Oh, yeah, Michael, it's a dragon.
So I wanted to say, so, you know, there's been lots of famous dragons in fiction, and I guess that's about it because they're fictional. But movies, books, television shows... I wanted to do a little experiment with you, Jeremy.
Okay.
I wanted to pick some dragons from fiction and put them into Google Trends, kind of like a Google Fight type thing, and see which dragon is the most powerful in terms of Google searches.
Okay.
So I have a kind of a list here, maybe, and we'll just kind of choose two of them, and we'll kind of predict who's going to win. Here's a few examples. Smaug from The Hobbit.
Uh-huh.
Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty.
Always scared the crap out of me as a kid.
You got your Game of Thrones dragons, which I never knew their name. Apparently
Drogon?
Yeah. Can you name the other two?
Oh, God, I should. Viserion.
Yes.
And Flanders. I don't know the last one.
Rhaegal?
Rhaegal?
Rhaegal, yeah.
That sounds right.
Falcor from The Neverending Story.
Was that a dragon?
Isn't he like a...
He's a big flying dog.
Yeah, but he's like a something dragon. What does he call himself? Luck dragon. He's a luck dragon.
I called shenanigans on that one.
He's too fuzzy?
It's too hairy.
Hungarian Horntail from Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Draco from Dragonheart, i.e.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Connery.
And Quaid, not the crazy one, the other crazy one.
Right.
Dennis Quaid.
So let's have these dragons fight. What should we do? Should we do Smaug? He's pretty famous.
Okay. Do that against the least famous one. We'll try to do this as close to like NCAA seeding as possible.
Okay. Should we do Hungarian Horntail?
Yeah, let's do that.
Modern. So I type in Smaug dragon just to eliminate any other search terms.
You're doing Smaug, right?
Smaug, yeah.
Smaug.
Hungarian Horntail Dragon. All right. Oh, man. Smaug has consistently beat the Hungarian Horntail.
Of course.
I guess this week, I don't know what this scale is, but the Smaug has 9. Hungarian Horntail has 1.
Jeez.
Search units. And Smaug had a big peak back when the movie came out, going up to 100 search units. So yeah, roundly defeats the Hungarian Horntail. I want to try one. Have you ever played Skyrim?
No.
Okay.
But it's one of my great shames. I have Oblivion waiting for me, if that counts.
That's good too.
Yeah.
So I'm typing in a big dragon from that game called Parthornax, who is voiced by the same guy who voices Mario,
Charles Mario,
or something. Yeah, Charles Mario. Who should Parthornax face off against? Let's see here.
Falcor.
Okay. Parthornax and Falcor. Wow, it is close, Jeremy.
Okay.
Actually, it is as of this week that when we're recording. Barely edged out by Parthornax from the video game series Skyrim, 23. Falcor is at 21. I didn't type in dragon with the search term, which I think is helping these results be a bit more robust. But there have been periods of time where Falcor eclipses Parthenax, so they've been fighting back and forth. But as of this week, the Skyrim dragon wins.
Good.
Good. Let's do one more.
Okay.
Let's go Drogon. What is it? Drogon?
Drogon.
From...
That's how I've always thought it, so it was said.
Okay. From a Game of Thrones. Oh, what's another good dragon here that we can throw in the fight?
Maleficent.
All right, yes. Both should get a little heat from their respective IPs. Because there was that movie with Maleficent not too long ago. Okay, so Drogon is currently at a 7. Did have some peaks there, assuming with the release of the various Game of Thrones episodes. Maleficent only at a 2 right now, peaked with the movie, but I think Drogon clinches that one jaws. So that was dragon fight. It was anticlimactic.
A little bit, but that's all right.
Yeah. So the ultimate dragon is Sean Connery, and let's get into this dragon, Jeremy.
Yes.
Let's go into the FDR. Jeremy, do you want to tell him what the FDR is?
The FDR, Michael, is where we find a beer, drink a beer, and then we rate a beer. It's some sort of deal?
Yeah, a new deal.
Oh, how about that? And this week, we are going to be taking on the Dragons of Hell's Keep, a Belgian-style golden ale from Squatters Craft Beer. Michael, what can you tell me about Hell's Keep and or Squatters?
Well, I can tell you about Squatters here. They're a brewery located in Salt Lake City. So this is a beer from Utah. And they were founded in 1989. Another surprising fact.
Interesting.
Yeah. And also another thing. So we did mention this brand before. I think it was we had a beer brag.
Hop Rising,
their double IPA. And also, I think you were part of the show at this point, Jeremy. Did we have that Polygamy Nitro?
That was Wasatch? Wasatch?
Yes. And so these two breweries, Wasatch, and Squatters, are part of this alliance.
Michael, if they made a tag team brew, what would you call it?
I would call it...
There's an obvious answer.
Sasquatch.
Bingo. All right, onward.
Okay.
Now that I've got that out of my system, you may continue.
Yeah, Utah Brewers Cooperative. So we've kind of had the sister brewery on the show before, but not this brewery directly. And so I'm really looking forward to this. It is a golden ale, which I believe you mentioned. And I can do a little flavor text here. It's nice and short, so I hopefully will not screw up. But here it is. Hell's Keep is a complex and refreshing Belgian beer experience. Unique flavors and aromas created during fermentation, along with bold carbonation, produce this devilishly delicious Belgian-style golden ale. So that is probably a devil on there.
Mm-hmm.
Further throwing my segment into the toilet.
It happens.
This one is 7.75 alcohol by volume, Jeremy.
Ooh.
And it wasn't very expensive either, so it's kind of a heavy hitter for being, I want to say, run-of-the-mill type brews.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see how run-of-the-mill it is when we try it here. I think that's about it. I think.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
then.
I think, yeah. We can get into this.
I
so
was
let's
settling
open
in
it
for
up.
A long summer's nap.
Do you have. What kind of glass are you using?
I am using kind of a tulip glass. It seemed appropriate.
Me too.
A footed.
Yeah, kind of snifter type glass.
A little bit taller than a snifter.
Yeah.
I do have snifters, and maybe we'll use that for an upcoming beer.
Oh.
Oh, that is fragrant.
Mmm.
Are you already drinking some?
No, I'm not.
Okay,
Michael? That is just from the smell.
You tell me.
Mmm. Very yeasty.
Very Belgian.
Yeah, so, smell.
One thing I'm noticing, Michael, is that this
grassy.
Is an incredibly clear beer. I'm not seeing, like...
I got bubbles, but yeah, I guess I have some yeast sediment floating around.
That's what I've got, but it doesn't have like that orange juice haze that I...
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't look like there's pulp. It just, I mean, it sounds gross, but it just looks like the glass is really dirty.
But that's actually a good sign, probably.
It is a good sign. Nice and yeasty. Got a nice...
stream of bubbles.
Nice stream of bubbles. A little meringue head on it. It's just kind of sitting there.
Fine bubbles. Mm, yeah, that smells really good. Nice kind of little grassy, little floral. Yeah, the yeast, Belgian yeast predominates.
I agree with all of that.
So,
Michael, how about you going first this week?
Yeah, I'm really excited to try this one. Here we go.
It's solid.
Quite enjoyed that first drink.
Indeed, as did I.
Wow.
It's not as Belgian-y of a yeast as I would have expected. It doesn't quite have that, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not quite as floral in the taste as it is in the smell.
Mm-hmm. It does have a little alcoholiness to it.
A little bit of a burn. It's very sweet.
Yeah, but it works well as it's complimentary. When I breathe out, do a little ASMR type video here.
Please don't.
I have a real, like a yeasty... Warm yeast type flavor in my mouth. It's pleasing, though. Mm. Don't get me wrong. It's not like a bacteria are overgrowing in my mouth and there's a SCOBY in there, but... it's good. It's really good.
It is good. That thing is hanging around and lingering for just a little bit. Yeah, this is a pretty solid version of a golden ale. Michael, what can you tell me about this one? What do you like about it?
I think this style of beer is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the yeast forward aspect. There is a hop bitterness, kind of a floral.
A little bit, yeah.
Grassy type flavor.
But, you know, just like pretty much any Belgian, or I guess... this is a Belgian style, so I guess they're not using the traditional Belgian ways of producing their beer. I find myself wishing that the yeast had a little bit more Belgianishness to it.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Like kind of a more, like you said, fruity aspect, would you say? Or
well, maybe fruity, just a little bit more. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I'm not doing a very good job of it, as we can tell. Perhaps I should go in for another sip.
You go ahead and do that.
You tell me what you like about this.
I think we didn't talk about the color. It is a golden
color. It is, in fact, golden. Thank you, Michael. I don't know if the listeners would have picked up on that.
The overall package is just good. It's more focused on... like the alcohol-type burn is really nice. Brings out some of the more aromatic flavors as you swallow it. That kind of evaporates, I guess, and kind of...
burns off.
Burns off and changes the profile of the flavor as you swallow. So a nice little evolution. Obviously, there's malt there and a nice body, but that's not like front and center for me anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. I kind of find my... So I think this is a dead-on clone of a Belgian, but it doesn't have the same yeast character that a Belgian would have.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. But it's... it definitely has... It's not as effervescent as a Belgian traditionally is. It's very sweet, but I kind of wish the yeast wasn't as restrained.
Right.
I think well, there we go.
Yeah, and I think you have to kind of be a little... go slow with this one. I don't think...
oh, definitely.
This is a, like, oh, let's crack open another one type beer.
Hey, buddy, let's get a 30 rack of Hell's Keep going on.
Yeah. Because it is strong, and strongly flavored for that matter, so you kind of got to pace yourself.
Do you though, Michael? Do you?
Well, you don't have to. Okay.
It's difficult to like find a lot to talk about, because this is not a particularly deep beer, in my opinion anyways. It's a good one. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little one note. I'm not getting any of the evolution that I would normally get with like a... like, say, we did with Trap 10. Now, granted, that's true. Not the most fair comparison.
Yeah, right.
But, for example, last night, with my dinner, I actually had Peace Tree's Blonde Fatale. Have you had that one, right?
I have, yes.
Okay, so for those not, and I think it's even been on the show.
No, it's been mentioned on the show, okay. But not.
In any case, for those who may or may not know, Blonde Fatale is a rather potent version of a Belgian golden ale that comes out of Knoxville, Iowa's Peace Tree Brewing, and that one has the that one definitely has the flowery barnyard feel of a Saison or a Belgian that you would expect out of the style. So I might be a little bit biased since I just had one of those.
I see. That's like 8%, isn't it?
It's 8.5% technically. Fun story.
Yeah.
Knob of the show, who shall remain nameless, as we have established in previous episodes, might be an enemy, might be a listener. I don't know. Don't really care. he had come down from whence he came. Or where's he came? I don't know how that works.
Where's
out.
He comes from, where, yes.
From,
okay.
From where he comes. And he's just like, oh, hey, I saw this one. It looked good. I got us two pitchers of Blonde Fatale.
Whoa.
And needless to say that he and counsel of the show proceeded to have a rip-roaring good time.
Two pitchers, Jesus.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because I kind of got caught off guard when I had that.
That thing will sneak up on you, man.
Yeah.
And I suspect Hell's Keep would do the same thing. But this one's not quite as light as I would like the style to be. Like we were saying, the Belgians tend to be a little bit more fizzy, a little bit more bubbly. This one is not so much, but it's still good.
Yeah. To fill a little more time, Jeremy.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been to Salt Lake City?
No, I've never been in the state of Utah. I've been close to it.
Utah? I need to get back there. I haven't been there in a long time since I was a kid, actually. But A, beautiful Western
I do like the
scenery.
Mountains.
Salt Lake City, you know, I mean, if they have breweries like this, I'm game. And lots of virtual geocaches, so I want to go back there someday. Wasatch and Squatters, Wasatch, Wasatch.
Uinta.
It's just giving me more reason to want to go back there. It's a really neat. Beautiful city, though.
Uinta is also in Salt Lake City, Michael, as we discussed on my beer brag last time.
So it's interesting. You would think with the legislation there about, 3.2% beers at...
Mormons, Michael, say it. So here, I can actually hit two birds with one stone and fill time and clear up some confusion. Current Utah law sets a limit at 3.2% alcohol by weight, 4% by volume, in beers sold at grocery and convenience stores and establishments operating under a beer-only type license, such as taverns, beer bars, and some restaurants. Beer over 3.2% by weight, or 4% by volume, is available in the state liquor stores and package agencies, and at clubs and restaurants licensed to sell liquor.
Mm.
In commercial facilities, the time at which alcohol may be served is limited, and alcohol may not be sold any later than 1 a.m. under any circumstance. This is kind of ridiculous. A liquor law, really?
These squatters and... such must have a big restaurant component
or a liquor license.
Yeah, right.
That's
but I guess can they sell their own beer in the state? I don't like bottles.
The only thing I can what the oh good gravy. So there's not much that I'm finding on, you know, Wikipedia about the breweries. It just oddly and okay, so apparently you have to hide alcohol from view.
Oh.
Casual restaurants like Chili's and Applebee's have had to spend extra money on reconfiguring their restaurants' layouts in order to accommodate the laws and hide alcohol from view. Ruth's Chris, a steakhouse, which has a large contingent of out-of-town business people who are used to ordering alcoholic drinks after work, have to inform their patrons of laws requiring that no more than 1.5 ounces of alcohol be poured into any drink and that an order of food is also required.
Mmm.
Out-of-state restaurants that rely heavily on brunch revenue would suffer due to the ban on Bloody Marys and mimosas before 12 p.m. This is insane. This is ridiculous.
Huh. This is a mystery we'll have to untangle more.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could be a craft brewery in it with all those rules and regs, but sell with food and
A restaurant may be able to obtain a liquor license, they are restricted to how and when they are able to serve alcohol. One such restriction is the quote-unquote intent to dine law. Customers must have the intent to dine in order to be served an alcoholic beverage. Restaurants are only able to serve liquor from 11 a.m. to midnight or 1 a.m., depending on the license, and many times the amount per glass is restricted. Co-owner of Fratelli Ristoranti, fancy, Dave Cannell said, quote, "People from out of state ask for a real glass of wine, and I can't give them one. I can only give them 5 ounces per glass," end quote. This is stupid.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe we will have to take a... Maybe Salt Lake City will be our first American Pale Male field trip outside our respective states.
I kind of don't want to. That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
It's like, we have to take a covered wagon out there or what? What kind of backwards hick crap is this? I'm getting judgmental, Michael. This has gotten me all...
Right.
Grinds my gears.
Have a sip of Hell's Keep, okay. Which I'm surprised they can name it that. And I'm surprised they can have a demon on the bottle.
That's awesome. I didn't put that together. That's sweet. Maybe that's why it kind of looks like Baphomet a little bit. Google Baphomet if you haven't seen what it looks like. It's pretty awesome.
So have a sip of that, and then give me a rating.
I'm going to go 3.5. It's a very solid example of what it does, but what it's doing is just not a lot.
Okay.
What about yourself?
I'm going to go in for a sip of judgment here.
That's totally Baphomet, by the way.
Yeah, I'm looking at him now. And, resemblance is uncanny.
It's almost like they used, specifically put Baphomet on this bottle to screw with Mormons.
I'm actually wavering between two ratings, and I think I'm going to go down a step. I really like this style, and I really like the taste of this beer. I really like how this was relatively inexpensive, and it's really kicking butt. I'm going to give this a 4-point ASMR, little tapping on the glass.
You're going down a step, but you're going up from me.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going between two ratings, and I'm going to rate down from what I was originally thinking.
Okay.
4.5,
really?
Yeah, I really like this beer. I think it's a lot to do with the style. This is the type of beer I enjoy a lot. And I think they did a really good job of representing that beer. I like the flavors that are going on. Like you said, you could get a Fancy Pants Belgian beer for $5.99. Or you could get this for less than half of that and have a similar experience, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not quite right, but you know what I'm saying.
I do.
Yeah. So it's good. It's a good value. It's a good beer. It's a good representation of the style. So I tip my hat to Baphomet.
Baphomet.
Give it a 4.5. Did I say it totally
you
wrong?
You said Baphomet.
I think I'm thinking of the D&D dragon Baphomet, and I got kind of mashed up.
I think it's the same thing, man. Baphomet definitely shows up in Final Fantasy at some point, I think. I think he's one of the Espers in Final Fantasy III.
Oh.
One of the cool ones, anyways.
Yeah, we should have had Baphomet fight in our dragon fight, because he's a big...
You need to learn how to read, Michael. There's a P in there. There's a PH.
But I thought, no.
You're bad and you should feel bad.
Jeremy, let's end the show
before
I do anything worse.
Michael.
Give us the social media.
Hail Baphomet.
That's the first plug.
So that's the first plug is for Baphomet. And then once you're done doing that, you can find us on APM Pod at just about anything. You can find us at APM Pod on Twitter. You can email us at apmpod@gmail.com. Drop us a line when we get back on a regular schedule. I hope that we'll have quite a bit to read from you fine people. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Google Music. That's what it's called, right? Yeah, Google Music.
Yes.
The little orange play sign that comes on Android phones.
Yeah.
I use it all the time. What can I say? And go on Facebook at APM Pod. Find us on YouTube. Search for APM Pod. I'm sure it will show up. And maybe Michael can make more of these ASMR videos to like really freak out the norms. But I think that's just about it. Basically, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know if you think Michael sounds like a fool for constantly mispronouncing Baphomet.
I swear they say Bahamut in the D&D videos I watch.
I mean, I'm sure they do, but I mean, there's nothing saying that they can't mispronounce things either.
Sure.
PH means F.
Well, wait, no, I think it's different.
For Fed and Fooey.
Bahamut, yeah, he's a metallic dragon. Now, metallic dragons are good, but chromatic dragons are evil. So keep that in mind when you're out there in the streets. Boy, it got real geeky real fast there.
Here we are hailing goat deities.
That's another one down the gullet. For Jeremy, I've been Michael.
And for Michael, I've been Jeremy.
And you've been listening to American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.